And that is Lee Morgan, Sidewinder. And you're listening to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And I think we are joined now by Tiffany Dixon. Are you there?
Yes, Phil. Hi.
Hi. It's good to talk to you. I should tell our listeners, Tiffany Dixon is an instructor of political science at Mark Hatfield School of Government, Portland State University. But also our listeners and anybody concerned about Rwanda has tried to understand it over the years would know that Tiffany Dixon was a very prominent counsel at the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda. She represented Mr. George Rutaganda, who was the second national vice president of the Interahamwe. And the matter of the assassination of two African presidents, the president of Burundi, the president of Rwanda, which took place on April the 6th, 1994, is vital for anybody trying to comprehend that great tragedy. And so I want to read the headline. It's from the Globe and Mail. It is Kagame Allegations Reopen Genocide Probe. It's, and the article is by Jeffrey York and Judy Rever. It was followed with an article titled Canadian Daughter of Slain Leader Calls for Justice. Both, thank goodness, very prominently shown. So, Tiffin, we're very glad you could join us, and you must be maybe a little jaundiced at this development because you have for years argued that this matter had to be understood. Could you give the historical context of why this event mattered so much to you and your client and to also the historical reality or historical truth?
Yeah, we're coming in February to the 20th anniversary of my having presented a motion for disclosure of prosecution investigations into shooting down the presidential plane. Which matters historically, of course. The consensus on the events in Rwanda in 1994 is that the shooting down of the plane is the spark that triggered the subsequent massacres. The causal connection is absolutely undeniable. And in fact, back in 97, before the start of my client's trial, the prosecution's theory, and indeed the theory that was being defended in the mainstream media and in the sort of genocide cottage industry, was that Hutu extremists had shot down the plane because President Habyarimana had become dovish and was making too many concessions in favor of the RPF. They were going to shoot down the plane, and as per the historian, Human Rights Watch activist Alison DeForge, to trigger what was in fact a pre-planned genocide. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, we had no reason to want the prosecutor to disclose the results of an investigation. But the truth was what interested us the most, and we were certainly ready to live with the results of that investigation. But we were immediately stonewalled and told that never had investigations actually been carried out into plane crashes and the deaths of presidents or vice presidents or whatever. I mean, it was so incredibly callous and absolutely cavalier. And it's fascinating given the fact that it was so crucial to their own thesis. And we later discover in 1999, thanks to the National Post's hatred of anything liberal, that in fact there had been an investigation precisely at the time that I was making, mm-hmm. presenting that motion, into the shooting down of the plane, and that in fact that investigation had yielded some interesting evidence and some reliable sources. Interestingly, those investigatory results pointed to the RPF, not Hutu extremists, not anyone
connected. The leaders of the present government.
The leaders of the present government, as having shot down the plane. And that was, I mean...
Kind of important for your case.
absolutely important for my case, and then one would wonder, well, if that happened, why didn't they disclose? And that's simply because the investor in question, the late Michael Horrigan, was asked to bring the results of this investigation to The Hague, where Canadian prosecutor Louise Arbour would be expecting him, apparently with some kind of enthusiasm, mm-hmm. of this evidentiary breakthrough. Mm-hmm. But as it happened, upon arriving in her office in The Hague, Horrigan was told that the investigation was to be shut down and to return to her all copies of information he had relevant to his investigations.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for outlining that. I mean, this, as a later prosecutor remarked, if that investigation were to go forward, you'd have to change the entire narrative, which has been constructed by an awful lot of powerful people. I'm trying to remember her name, but the
Carla Del Ponte. But
Carla
absolutely.
Del Ponte said that they couldn't live with the reality of their own findings.
Well, and furthermore, I mean, she stated publicly that the interference into her investigating the current leaders of Rwanda, the Rwandan Patriotic Front, was the result of pressure from the United States. Mm-hmm. She said that Kofi Annan told her as much, and this is how she was fired as prosecutor of the ICTR.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Tiffany Dixon, who was a lead defense counsel at the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda. And that should bring us now to the French, because this story by Jeffrey York and Judy Rever in the Globe and Mail, October the 11th, says that Mr. Yamwasa, I should say General Yamwasa, who was part of the inner circle of Paul Kagame and the RPF, has made a statement, I gather, and then there's some additional information. Now, you're very familiar with the French investigation. They have, we should remind everyone, they have a specific interest. The plane was a French plane, leased from France, and the pilot was, and the co-pilot were French, and the crew were French. So for that reason, they were investigating who killed the French, basically.
Yeah.
And it is their jurisdiction. But this has been on again and off again. Tell us about what you make of this new development of the Yamwasa statement.
You maybe said it best yourself. I'm at the point of some degree of jaundice with respect to France, and I would say, you know, in the current geopolitical circumstances, I don't really think that they're to be trusted. Generally, their attitude at the United Nations doesn't really show them to be autonomous or independent.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be very much in the pocket of those same interests that were blocking the investigation into the shooting down of the president's plane or any investigation into the RPF. This investigation on the French side started, I mean, almost two decades ago with Judge Bruguière, led to, and it was, and it, 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 I experienced it as an eternity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He interviewed, I don't know, hundreds of people, and actually made a breakthrough with respect to the SAM-16 missiles that had shot down that plane. This is maybe a little bit of a wonkish detail, but I think it's important. The missiles had the casings had markings in Cyrillic, which I guess, you know, today everyone would love that the Russians did it, right? but at the time we were not in that. Those were the glory days of Boris Yeltsin, who was such a good
man.
So
the Russians didn't do it. Yeah.
Right, and so the theory was one popular theory was that these were Soviet missiles that the French had taken after the first war in Iraq in 91, and that had given those to Hutu extremists.
Mm-hmm.
The evidence backing that claim was non-existent. But Bruguière is to be thanked for having traveled to Russia and having traced those very missiles to a transfer from the Soviet Union to Uganda. So we know that the last in the chain of possession, the last link is Uganda, and mm-hmm. we know that the RPF, Kagame himself was of course chief of military intelligence in the Ugandan army. So Bruguière definitely did that, but his report in 2006 results in the issuance of arrest warrants against a number of people, including Kagame, including Rose Kibuye, led to the kind of predictable by now Rwandan response, which is outrage.
Yes.
And we have the recent Nyamwasa desire to cooperate with the French is also predictably triggered outrage. But that led to the breakup of diplomatic relations between France and Rwanda, and that lasted until 2012.
Mm-hmm. Probably is about to stop lasting, I assume.
Yeah.
I wonder what you make of that. It, by the way, they do say, and in my memory from courtroom evidence, and there's been quite a bit of a number of people, Mr. Hourigan, Amadou Dem, who was a captain who was working with first with Dallaire, later with the investigation, they traced the missiles into the headquarters of the RPF in Kigali before they were sent out to a hill, apparently, to be used. And I noticed this story is repeated, and apparently Nyamwasa, is, among others, is going to confirm that. It isn't, you know, the irritating part is that really there's not a lot of news. It simply needs to be, people need to have it in front of them to follow, because we had on this program, we spoke to Paul Kagame's strongest or closest advisor for a number of years, Mr. Rudasingwa. He said Kagame told him that he had done it and why, and it was all very reasonable. And we had near confessions from Paul Kagame himself in that he always spits out rage and anger about President Habyarimana saying he was my enemy, what do I care what happened to him? You know, he's sort of prima facie. It would seem to be a rather easy matter to understand.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I may be so bold as to return to this Globe and Mail story.
Please.
Because there's something buried inexplicably deep down. This is four paragraphs from the very end of the piece. A sentence beginning with "meanwhile." So, meanwhile, the Globe has also obtained a confidential document from a separate. Meanwhile, has also obtained a secret document. That's a story in and of itself.
Yes,
it should be on the front page. So, let me continue. From a separate investigation in 2003 that concluded that the presidential assassination was planned by Mr. Kagame, Mr. Nyamwasa, and other senior rebel leaders. What report? Well, the report is marked top secret, never published by the tribunal, written by a special investigations team at the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda. I have confirmed with one of the journalists that this document is real and that it was indeed generated by investigators of the Office of the Prosecutor at the ICTR. In 2003, they were tasked with investigating crimes committed by the RPF, as was the jurisdiction of the court, right, to investigate all war crimes, yes, crimes against humanity, and that a portion of that report is devoted to the shoot down of President Habyarimana's plane. Now, what that is doing sitting at the very bottom of the story is beyond me. When the Hourigan report was exposed in 1999,
yes,
I believe it was, that was front page news in the National Post, top of the fold, I believe.
Well, you were one, I should say. I wish you were back, I wish there was a courtroom into which you could walk again and to be making this case, but also because my listeners should know, was Stephen Dixon, who was called out Mr. Edwards in the National Post, as did other lawyers, and saying this has to be known. This is necessary to the defense. This is necessary to the truth, the historical truth.
And well, you'll
recall, can't be sat on. It's got to come out.
You'll recall, of course, having joined me, John Philpott, and André Tremblay, where we held a press conference in New York City in, ironically, I don't know, the mm-hmm. Dag Hammarskjöld building to bring this, to give it maximal exposure. Now we know that there is yet another report that yields evidence unfavorable to the prosecution's case, to the whole mainstream narrative that as a result gets sat on. At the beginning of this conversation, I was telling you and your listeners about the motivation for writing and presenting this motion. We were happy with the truth, mm-hmm. wherever it may have laid. And this doesn't appear to be the case for the prosecutor or the prosecutor's sponsors, whoever they may be.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to be a creation. The prosecutor is supposed to be independent, though the body is an ad hoc creation of the United Nations Security Council. It's unconscionable that yet again they have hidden evidence with respect to one of the most unbelievable actions committed in 1994, that, of course, at the beginning of the year, the good old CIA had predicted that civil war was to resume in Rwanda, there would be somewhere between 500,000 and a million deaths.
Turned out to be right.
So the question of who had an interest or who decided to resume the civil war by shooting down the plane, killing two Hutu presidents, and that might do it, right?
Yes.
So it would seem to be of some import, and I'm really shocked that the existence of this report and the fact that this evidence has been hidden is not gaining more attention.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and that there's not scrutiny given to that particular prosecutor who I suppose blocked these findings from seeing the light of day.
Yes. Yeah, she names Mr. Jallo, or I should say she. The article says that Mr. Jallo put this aside, but he certainly did not do that on his own, if he did.
There's no reference to that in the article, Phil. But I mean, I think that we can probably.
I may be confusing the two articles. There's a quote in each.
Yeah. But I mean, we can certainly based on what we know from Carla Del Ponte, she's been like Swiss like clear on the fact that she was under explicit pressure.
Shouldn't we then, she would be one of the people to whom we should take this matter now, right? She should be in the forefront. She complained of how she was not permitted to be an objective prosecutor, yes, and follow the truth. She was told to stop. So you would think that she, like yourself and other counsel, would like to have this result and see it so as to explain her own conduct.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, and there would have to be some kind of journalistic interest, mm-hmm, in pursuing this story, and definitely, Ms. Del Ponte should take an interest in this, and I'm sure she's not going to be shy expressing her opinion of this whole fiasco.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think as we will follow the your lead and look into the buried paragraph and see if we can dig up the truth. How would that be?
That would be wonderful.
Well, you've shed an awful lot of light on it. I'm really glad you could talk to us. Stephen Dixon, who fought a very good fight in and it's a fight that's going to go on, is it not? History, unfortunately, you know, it doesn't have smooth, neat endings, but we have new material here to be fighting over.
Yes. Yes, we do. And the more the prosecution is hiding evidence, the more suspect not only they look, but this whole construct of an international criminal tribunal for Rwanda.
Yeah. Well, Tiffany Dixon, we appreciate it very, very much. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah, bye-bye. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 and FM. And by the way, thank you, Globe and Mail. Thank you for Jeffrey York and Judy Rever for being on this. As with any good reporting, it always opens up the door to more, which we would really like to have.